Welcome to Grace Tabernacle. We invite you to join us on the journey to transform people into contagious, wholehearted worshipers and followers of Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful toward achieving that goal in your life. Now, let's join in the fellowship of Grace Tabernacle for a relevant message from our pastor, Gary Washburn, that we believe will lead you closer to the heart of God.
God is good. Amen. And all the time? Amen. Let's do it again. God is good. And all the time? Amen. Much, much better. Praise the Lord. We thank the Lord for being here today, and we need to really pray for our pastors. We really do. Sometimes we take that for granted, our leaders, and sometimes secretly they go through things and we don't know, because they don't want to put that burden on the people, you know. But when we hear that Pastor Pam got sick, we need to take that home with us. We need to really pray, Lord, put your hand on this situation, because obviously the pastor don't like seeing his wife go through this. It's been several times that she's been through this, and it's hard for him to see that. So we need to really carry this home with us and present our leaders before the Lord. Amen. You know, God is a good God, and, you know, pastor needs to feel your love. He does. You know, I saw him today praying out there, walking. With all the situation, he took out the time to come here and pray and present this place before the Lord and the people. And that's honorable, you know. And after that, he went back to be with his wife. And we just got to have that in our hearts. Today, I just want to bring a small reflection on something. I want to bring insight that will help you throughout the week, something to meditate on. It's something short, but something to just have in your heart throughout the week. How would you like to be remembered? Have you ever asked yourself that question? How would you like to be remembered? What kind of legacy would you like to leave when you leave? Some people have the mindset that say, well, I'm not going to be here anymore, so it doesn't matter. But the reality is, it does matter. You know, I remember I went to North Carolina one time, and I saw one of their, they have like a plaque on the ground. And if I'm not mistaken, it says something to the effect of, may those who come after us find that we were faithful. Think about that. May those who come after us find that we were faithful. That's something very important. As believers, we need to have this in our minds, in our hearts, that we don't live for ourselves. There's something greater, and God wants us to put mind to those details. A legacy comes from the idea that everyone, regardless of gender, regardless of age, position, can make a difference. Legacy forces us to think about where we've been, where we are, and where we're going. Leaving a lasting legacy is a journey from success to significance. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:7-8, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, that the crown of righteousness, which is the Lord, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. As Paul reached the end of his life, he could look back and know he had been faithful to God's call. If I ask you today, if you look back, can you say you've been faithful? Can you say that you've been faithful to the call of God? It's something personal. You don't need to nod your head or raise your hand and say, yeah, amen. Or, you know, something personal. Think about that. Because sometimes I thought myself at times that, man, I thought I was standing firm. You know, and you realize, like I mentioned before, for many years, I thought I was doing the work of the Lord, and I was not. I was fooling myself. I was self-deceived. You see? And God is a good God, because once you start putting those things in your heart and you start flirting around with what God is putting in your mind, you say, you know what, Lord? I got to be honest, man. I really did mess up on that one. You see? God starts dealing with you when you start opening up your heart like that. Now it was time to prepare leaders to take his place so that the world would continue to hear the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. Timothy was Paul's living legacy. As a result of Paul's faithful teaching, faithful discipleship, and faithful example, because of Paul's work with many believers, including Timothy, the world is filled with believers today who are also carrying the work of the Lord. What legacy will you leave behind? What legacy will you leave behind? You know, I'm very, very simple. I have a very simple testimony, and I'm very clear, and you guys know that. And every time I stand up here, sometimes I repeat stories because I can only give what I have. You understand? And you know, I'm not trying to impress. It's just, this is what it is. This is my life experience. This is my story. And I could still remember my mom every morning praying with us, every night praying with us. And in the nighttime, she will always teach us the Lord's Prayer since we were kids. And you guys all know the story, whoever knows me, that through an incident that I went through as a little child, my mom came to the Lord. And ever since she came to the Lord, she was faithful. She was faithful. I would wake up sometimes in the middle of the night and find my mom praying or reading scripture. And one day you guys will know my mom, and I know a few of you guys have seen her, but my mom is a character. There's things in her that you like, man. You know, and she could sit in the service, and she enjoys the message, she enjoys the worship, she enjoys the preaching, but when the preacher says amen, she wants to go home. And if anybody gets up to say a commercial, she went, didn't they preach already? She's like that. She's a character. But the thing I really remember about my mom the most, and I admire, and those little things are just little things in comparison to know that this woman had 8 kids. She dressed them up to go to church every time. She was always early. The bus didn't have to wait for her. She always took us to church. If we misbehaved, she'd come home. Huang, so-and-so misbehaved. So-and-so, you see, she kept us in the line. And that's what I remember, that legacy that she left. And if you ask my mom what she desires for her kids, she will tell you, all I want is my kids to love God with all their heart. If they become doctors, professionals, and anything, that's bonus. But all I want is for them to love the Lord, to fear God, and to walk in his ways. That was her heart's desire. That's all she wanted. Okay? And let me tell you something. All 8 kids are currently serving God right now. All 8 of them. It was hard for her. It was a challenge, but she knew that her life was no longer hers. She understood that when she came to Christ, it is no longer I, but him. And his will is those kids need to serve him. And how are they going to serve him? I'm going to teach them his ways. I'm going to put them in their, I'm going to put it in their hearts. How am I going to do that? Come here, sit down. This is what the Lord says. I remember when we were younger, and I'm not trying to bring any controversies, but I will. I remember when we were younger, we would celebrate Halloween, we would trick-or-treat and everything, and my mom would get us costumes and all that stuff. But the day they preached in her church what Halloween was all about, no more Halloween here. She said it right, no more Halloween. And I remember one day, we went to our aunt's house, and they gave us a costume of, I think it was a costume of Freddy Krueger. A horror movie, a guy from a horror movie. You guys know who Freddy Krueger is. And when we went home, we snuck that in. That night, we did not sleep, none of us. We all slept together in the same room, but we were not sleeping. We were all terrified. And my younger sister was saying, oh, I hear voices, I hear voices. The enemy's telling me this, the enemy's telling me to do this. And we didn't sleep the whole night. Why? Because now there was a conviction that we violated. You see that? You see that? Sometimes you can't get judged for what you don't know. But once you know, you're going to be held accountable. So my mom understood, okay, I don't want anything to do with witchcraft. I don't want anything to do with celebrating I don't want to do anything with that. So she, you know, she took heart to that, and she said, no more Halloween here. And the day we decided to go against her, look at the experience we had. You see, so my mom was one that she left, and she's still living. Thank you, Lord. But she has left a lasting legacy in all our kids. And in my home, you know, we cannot, and we got to be honest with ourselves as believers. We love to help. We love to serve. We love to do things for the Lord. And that is awesome. But first, the home. First, the home. You know, I remember in the beginning of this year, the Lord gave me a specific strategy for my home, for my kids. He wanted me to start prayer walking with my kids. He wanted me to start spending time with them and listening to what they have to say. You know how hard it is to really walk with your 12-year-old daughter and you say, what's God doing in your life? What he's doing in your heart? Tell me how you feel at home, how you feel with your mom, and hear your daughter say, well, I can't stand my mom. I can't stand when she does this. And I have to deal with it now. I have to listen to, I can't react, I can't retaliate because the Lord told me to listen, right? You know how challenging that is? But let me tell you something special. The unity that came out of that. You know, God wants us all to live in alignment with his word. And there's going to be something specific, like God's going to speak to your heart. But guess what? It's not going to happen on his own. You ever wonder why many believers don't hear from God? You know, God is constantly speaking. He's constantly speaking. He never stops speaking. First of all, he speaks through his word. You know? And he wants to work with you. He's speaking to you. Some of us have received a word from the Lord 10 years ago, and we want him to speak another word, but yet we have not accomplished the first thing he said to us. And we wonder why things are going sour. Makes sense? You see, God, he works with, he speaks to us constantly. And he tells us, look, I want you to do this. I want you to do that. But if you don't do it, don't expect godly consequences. Don't expect victory after victory after victory when you're not doing it his way. And you know how one of the ways I know God is speaking to me? When he tells me something contrary to what I believe. Isn't that awesome? Thank you, God, that he doesn't tell us what we want to hear. You know, that's a famous quote that says that the years tell us much that the days never knew. You know, there are times that we're going through things, we're experiencing certain things, and we don't understand, and we complain, we nag, we're like, God, you left us alone. When we look back down the years, we realize, wow, he was always there. He was speaking, but I was not listening. I was not listening. God wants us to live a life, a legacy, leave a lasting legacy, a good one. Because you can live a life that's going to impact someone for the positive as well as negative. As well as negative. And my mom, she was a great example for us. And man, I love her the way she is. I sometimes don't can't stand certain things she does. But she's awesome. You know, I will see her outreach the community. She won all those little kids in the community for the Lord. She would do every Friday services. She had over 75 kids in New York, you know? And in the Dominican Republic right now, she has around that same much of kids that she outreaches to, and she gives them clothes, she gets them food, and she supplies their needs for Christmas. You know, that's in her heart. And what she did to us, man, you know what she did with me? She surrounded me with seniors, with senior citizens. That's why I love you guys so much. And you guys know I worked with the senior community for like 7 years. And right now I stopped working with them because that was another thing. You know, I don't expect anyone to understand my walk. And you cannot expect anyone to understand your walk. But there are going to be times that God is going to tell you certain things that is just not going to make sense to anyone else, not even to you. But in the end, what matters is what God says. You see, I believe in being led by the Spirit. That's what I learned since I've been a kid. I was surrounded by fireball seniors. These people will hear rhema word from God. That will speak to you things that only you knew that happened in your home in your private time. That when you hear it, it will knock you off your feet. That's been imparted in me. So when I live my walk believing in him, because I answer to him. If I go based on people or what people want me to think or do, when I look back, I'm going to have a lot of failures. And one of the things that the Lord told me last year, I want you to let go of your job. And I want you to focus on your photography, and I want you to focus on helping the church. That's what the Lord spoke to me of. And I didn't really speak to people about that, just certain people. And later on, I spoke and said, listen, this is what, and people didn't like that, but that's okay. I don't expect anyone to understand my situation. However, if I disobey what God calls me to do, it's on me. Because later on, I'm the one that's going to be kicking myself and saying, I should have listened to God. I knew better. I knew his voice. You see, let me tell you the victories I've had since I let go of my job. First of all, I've made more money this year than when I was working. I've been, like I told you, been doing prayer walks with my kids, you know. I've been mentoring a few of the men's. My relationship at home with my spouse has been better. There's been so many different things that has shown me God's faithfulness. Have things gotten tight? Of course, sometimes they gotten tight. Oh, Lord, how? I don't see this coming. But I have never doubted what he has spoken. Sometimes God speaks to us and we allow circumstances to shift our belief system in him. We either trust him or we don't. Because things will shift around us. Things will look like he didn't speak. But he spoke. And you have to stand on that word. Oh, if God really spoke to you, how come you're struggling like that? If God really spoke to you, how come this is happening to you like that? Tell that to Joseph. Tell that to these mighty men of God. Did David ask to be king? Did he put himself in that situation to be king? Or did God choose him? Next thing you know, he's hiding. See? Being in the will of God doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be trouble-free. If that's the case, explain to me why we have a lot of brothers that are being martyred. See? And one of the things God told Paul was he must know how much he must suffer for my name's sake. See? Being God's will doesn't necessarily mean everything's going to be butterflies and rainbows. God wants you to live a life that brings glory to his name and leaves a lasting legacy. What I want for my home is for my kids to love him with all his heart, with all their heart. You know, the other day, the speech therapist, that's another thing. John Michael has been going now for a year to speech therapy, and his speaking has gotten better. And I give glory to God. But you know, the other day, his speech therapist texts me and says, the other day I was going through something pretty hard, and your son sang a song, and he just changed everything around for me. I want to tell you that you guys are doing a great job with him. Isn't that awesome? You know what he was singing? The song that they're practicing for the Christmas play. You see how awesome God is? And I've seen that over and over. One time I went to pick up Ashley from school, and her teacher was crying because Ashley said something in the class that shook everybody, and the teacher was shocked that she knew what she was talking about. You see, every day you impart something to your kids, to your family, to your friends. We carry that ourselves in a way that every time we speak, we impart something. If we're negative and people that are positive get close to us, something's going to happen. Either we turn out like them or they turn out like us. You see? And we carry life. We need to impart that. So we have to know what you have. Leaving a godly legacy means choosing to start first at home by knowing, applying, and experiencing, embracing, and proclaiming God's truth about your marriage, your kids, and your family. It's a lifelong process of forming our lives according to what the scripture teaches. Living a godly legacy means measuring our attitudes and action with God's word. When we start at home with the little things, that will overflow into the lives of others around us. You never know whose life you will touch. You know, remember the time I told you my father-in-law got sick and his kidney shut down. During that time, I was trying to get a day off from work. I had sick days and all that, but I never took them. And my supervisor, she told me, no, we need you here. We're short staff. And I was telling her, I don't want my in-laws to get sick if I leave my kids with them. And because of that, I had no choice but to leave my kids with my in-laws, and they got sick. And my father-in-law, his kidney shut down, and he ended up even getting dialysis. And you guys all know God did a radical transform. He did a miracle. That was a quick miracle. Because I know people that are in dialysis, and that's not something that you could easily get out of. So the thing is, during that time, I had no choice but to report my supervisor. And I went to human resources, and I explained to them. I said, listen, I am a little fearful even saying that, because I'm afraid of losing my job. But this was what happened. You know what the lady told me? She says, Miguel, we know you here. We know you for a few years now. You are an honorable man. When you speak, we listen. Wow. From a guy that no one wanted to listen to before, to a man that people say, wow, you have honor with you. That touched me. And I felt like a cockroach. You understand? But the reality is, that's what God does in us when we take his word serious and we live out what he says. You see? So things changed for me, and my supervisor, she didn't say sorry, but she came across and she kind of, I understood. That's the way she said sorry. But it was something that if I would not have been someone that, you know, really loved the Lord and did things his way to bring glory and honor, I would not even been considered. When I spoke to her, she would probably just brush me off. But because they saw that I was a person that I really loved the Lord and tried to do things his way, they honored that, you see? And, you know, you have to understand that people are watching you. If people are watching us. They really are. Have you ever seen somebody driving and you see them arguing? They can't see you, but you see them, right? The same way it is when, you know, you're walking around and let's say you're not getting along with somebody and you're a Christian. People, oh, that's so-and-so, that's Christian. She's a Christian. She goes to this place. You know, people see those things. So my point is this. We need to make sure that we are who we claim to be. We're not going to be perfect. But God teaches us how to walk this walk, how to live a life victorious. You know, how to live a life to leave a lasting legacy. You see, I remember in January 26, 2004, I wrote a little something here. And I believe the Lord put in my heart to write this. And I ran into this today, okay? And I said, you know what? I think it's time for me to share this because I never shared it before. And for me, it was a big deal. I even had it notarized and everything because I was like, I could probably turn this into something, maybe a little pamphlet or something that people could read and get encouraged, like a little track or something. And it shows you a life of meaning. It shows you what it is when you walk with God, you know, the impact that it has, you know, and I'm just going to read it. There was once a man who walked with God. This man's name was Noah. Noah told the people that God instructed him to build an ark. They did not believe him, but Noah continued to obey God, despite what the people thought. That did not stop Noah from doing all that God commanded him. Until the day of today, the ark is the evidence of Noah's obedience to God. The ark, designed by God, was made of incorruptible wood. In sign of victory, is resting upon the mountains of Ararat before the presence of God. In the early 1900s, there was a man who relied on his own understanding. This man's had a dream of building an unsinkable ship. Once the ship of dreams was realized in 1912, it was said not even God can sink it. A movie was made of this unsinkable ship. It was called Titanic, which won 2 Academy Awards, including Best Picture. This movie shows us the failure of man at his best. Even though the movie was a success, unlike Noah's Ark, Titanic was not. The people believed that Titanic was unsinkable, but what once was called Titanic is deteriorating at the bottom of the sea to this day. Noah chose to obey God and God blessed his obedience. He did not care what people thought of him, but what God thought. Through this, it was evident that Noah walked with God. Titanic, the unsinkable ship that God himself could not sink, ran into the tip of an iceberg and burst. Yet people believe that it was unsinkable. You know the Noah's Ark. How many here know that the Noah's Ark was found in the 70s? You know that the Noah's Ark was found, and it had the exact measurements and everything. They just can't get in because of the years and everything that, you know, that got on top of it and everything like that. But, you know, they even did, it's funny because when they found it, they actually did an animal sacrifice there, you know, to celebrate. But the media doesn't cover that. They don't cover that because that will wipe out evolution theory quickly. They found Noah's Ark. Don't report that. And the funny thing is, you mentioned it to Christians. They're the first unbelievers. The Christians are the first unbelievers. You share with them, they don't believe. Unfortunately. Meanwhile, a Titanic shows up. Oh, man, that, I don't ever see that. Man, I understand what they're saying. That boat looks unsinkable. You see the point? When you do things God's way, he puts you up in high. When you do it your way, your understanding, the only thing that's going to be remembered is the big failure. You understand? Let's live a life of purpose, a life with meaning, that those who come after us can really say, wow, I want to live that way. I want to live that way. I want to live the way they did. I want to love the Lord the way they loved the Lord. Lord, I want to experience you the way my mom did. Man, you know, if I tell you the testimonies that my mom has had, it will blow your socks off. This woman has seen God in a mighty way. Tonight, we should all be able to say the following words from a famous song. I want to live a legacy. How would they remember me? Did I choose to love? Did I point enough to you to make a mark on things? I want to leave an offering, a child of mercy and grace who bless your name unapologetically and leave that kind of legacy. When you realize what you have is not just for you to keep for yourself and it's to spread out, you're going to live a life of purpose. You will live a life of purpose. You know, I know I'm a young guy. I'm only 35. But I could tell you that whenever I have an opportunity to express myself and speak, I speak what I genuinely went through, what I've been through. And I don't think I know it all. I know I never will know it all. But how beautiful it is when God can pinpoint something in your heart that needs change and you can actually say, you know, Lord, I didn't see that before. I'm actually a little bit scared to open up that part of my heart. I still remember that dream the Lord gave me. And I think I was in New York still. That was over 11 years ago. He showed me a closet, and inside that closet, there was a lot of garbage. And I saw these two hands go in there and take out all the garbage out of the closet. Next thing you know, the closet looks beautiful. It's nice and clean. And the hands points to the top, and in the top shelf, there was a little treasure box that had a big lock on it. And the Lord said these words to me, I want that. I want that. I said, no. We got to be honest when the Lord points things out in our hearts to say, you know, Lord, I know you pointing this out, but I don't want to release that to you right now. Because just by telling him that, he'll give you a strategy to release it to him. You know, I find myself a lot of times on the hot wheel, on the hot spot, basically, in a situation like, okay, either I'm going to do it your way or I'm not. And doing it God's way sometimes requires you surrendering your own will, requires you saying, you know, I was wrong. I did this wrong. I need to humble myself. I need to ask for forgiveness. I remember a friend of mine that I offended big time in New York. I told him off outside of church because I didn't believe he was doing right before God. I let him have it. And I still remember when I was telling him that he's a grown man. I'm here telling him off. And he didn't retaliate. He said, I appreciate your heart, Miguel. He said, I appreciate your heart, Miguel. And I'm sorry you feel like that. And he had water, and his eyes got all watery. And I didn't care. And I remember here in Florida, when the Lord showed me that day, and he told me, you did it wrong, and you need to apologize. I went to his house in front of his wife, and I said, look, I want you to know that I'm sorry for this, for this, for this, for this. I didn't just say sorry. I had to point out what I was sorry for. And that brought freedom to me, and it brought freedom to him. And it also shows you that when you don't defend yourself, God will fight for you. Whenever anything comes your way that you didn't ask for, don't defend yourself. Stay silent. God is faithful. He will vindicate if you need to be vindicated. He will fight for you. He needs to fight for you. But don't ever defend yourself, because he is awesome. Nothing passes by him unlooked. He sees it all. And sometimes there's just misunderstanding between us brothers and sisters, you know, and we need to work those issues out. You know, we're a family. We're supposed to be a family. And you know, I'm done with my message, but I just want a heart to heart. One of the things that will really sadden me in the place of worship that I used to be in before, I saw over 300 families come in and out. And if you know me long enough, you know I love to work with people. I'm sociable. And I would hate, and I would hate to see them leave, because you learn to love people and then they're not there anymore. To the point that I didn't want to open up my heart anymore. You know, the Bible does say to never stop doing what's good. Regardless whether you're hurt or not, you always keep doing what's right. But when I see a family of believers for no reason just pick up and go, it hurts. And then the saddest thing is you cannot even ask why do you leave, because they get offended. So it's basically you see them, you don't see them, and you got to leave it alone. It makes you wonder whether they were really of the Lord or not. You understand? When you are a family of the Lord, I mean, that's for eternity. The Bible even says to do good to people, especially those of the faith. Especially those of the faith. And sometimes people come, you love them, then they leave. And the sad thing is, people that always pick up and go, they never make it to their destiny. They never make it to the destiny. Why? Because they have to go around and then come back. They go around and they come back. They go around and they come back. That's not a good thing. There's no way you could live a life of victory that way. There's no way that you could leave a legacy to your family, to your kids in that way. It's not a good example for the word of what the word teaches. It's not a good example. So I beg of you, if anyone here is living a life that is just like, I'm just going with the motions, I'm just doing my own thing, today's the day that you can say, you know what, Lord, enough. I don't want to run anymore. I am tired of doing things my way. I am tired. I don't want to live this life like this anymore. You know, we need to be able to carry each other's burdens. If somebody's hurting amongst you, pick them up. Pick them up. That's what Grace Group is all about. Grace Group is really to get to know people that are in the church, that are your brothers in the faith, and they might not be in the same category as you. You might be wealthy, that person might be poor. You see what I'm saying? But you help each other. You help each other get balanced. And doing so, we become like the book of Acts. The way the believers did, they had everything in common. They understood that what they had was not their own. That's why they shared it. You see? And in these small groups, you get to know one another. But if somebody says something you don't like, don't pick up and go. Deal with it. Because in your own family, you have hypocrites. You have people that you don't like in your family. And you don't say, I don't want you to be my sister anymore. I don't want you to be my mother anymore. I want to divorce you. No, you deal with it. You carry each other. And then if something happens to that person, you're the first one in the hospital there with them. You see, that's how I'm supposed to be here. You see what I'm saying? We need to be united. Imagine we didn't have this building. Would we be united? Think about that. This building is not the church. We are the church. This is something that God has blessed us with, that we could come and join each other and just have fellowship and meet him and glorify him together. But the reality is, we need to learn how to love one another. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's all I have today, and that was all freestyle, so I pray that you take what was for you. If you didn't like it, just keep that to yourself. Father, we thank you for being so awesome. We thank you for being such a good God. We pray, my God, that we may understand that our life is not our own, that we are to live a life of purpose, a life of meaning, a life that will transform those who see us, my God, and that we may leave a lasting legacy to our kids, to our family, to our loved ones, to our brothers and sisters, Lord. We thank you for all you're doing. We bless this congregation in your name, and we just pray, my God, that we may come together to this place in unity to always glorify you together, Lord, because in the midst of that, my Lord, of that unity, you move. You move and you do special things, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for everything.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped move you closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at www.gracetab.org.